When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally. This is episode number 66. And with me today, back on the microphone, is Wade Lightheart. Wade, thanks for being with me.
Scott, great to be here.
Man, we had such an outpouring of positive feedback from the first episode that you were on with us. I really appreciate it, man. That was a fun show. And honestly, I was surprised at how much fun we had. It was something that we came into it looking to talk about, you know, certain things, talking about like meditation and bodybuilding and mindset, stuff like that. But it just became so much more. And I thought to myself, man, we got to have this guy back at least another time just to get into some more of these specifics. So this is really cool, man. I'm excited.
Me too.
You told me that you just got back from Southern California. You were training in Gold's. How was the weather down there this time of year?
It's awesome. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Gold's has been such a successful gym in that environment, and Los Angeles has been really a hotbed for health and performance for so many decades. It's, you know, the weather, the climate, and just so many people who are enthusiasts of the industry are there. And of course you go to Gold's. I mean, I think you just, all your results improve by about 10% just from breathing the air in that place.
No, I feel you, man. And that's exactly the way I feel when I've gone there. So your company, Bio Optimizers, is it based out of Los Angeles then?
Actually, we've just opened up a U.S. distribution facility now, and we're looking at putting our head office actually in Los Angeles. Oh. I was out there scouting out the area, so it's something that's forthcoming. We've set up our Bioptimizers USA because we've been expanding the brand and the education series, and it's been a lot of fun. And so now it's time to head to the U.S. market.
That's awesome. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this stuff before, but Bioptimizers, you basically have supplements that are there to basically optimize digestion, improve health through digestion, correct?
Yeah, our theme is We Fix Digestion, and our mission is to help end physical suffering by alleviating digestive symptoms and activating awesome health.
Mm. And you guys target more of the general health market, people that are, or people in the general population, not necessarily bodybuilders, people that are sick, really, people that need, you know, serious help. Am I right?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. It didn't start out that way. We started out as a bodybuilding company. My co-founder and I, Matt Gallant, we started educating bodybuilders on how to build muscle naturally in courses. Mm-hmm. And then we developed nutritional supplement products because we found that there was a lot of people suffering from various conditions related to digestion. They couldn't assimilate or utilize their foods, or they weren't having the best results from their diets. And so we went down that route. And then literally what happened is that evolved into a digestive health company because we found out that there's a lot of people having digestive problems, and we turned out that we solved those problems. So, you know, it's the old thing. You start out building a toaster and you end up with a rocket ship. That's kind of how our company ended up.
Nice. That's cool. And just to kind of step back for anybody that didn't hear the previous episode, Wade is a bodybuilder. That's where his roots are. And you chose to go the natural route. In fact, to take it further, you competed as a total vegan, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy, I don't recommend it for everybody. It's a crazy ride to try and figure it out, because nobody was doing that back then. I was weird. I was subject to a lot of criticism and oftentimes skepticism. But, you know, I think I've always felt bodybuilding is a wonderful expression, a personal expression of lifestyle. It's not just about winning contests. It's about kind of, you know, seeing what you can do with your own physique, this amazing opportunity that we have to have a physical body. And that was just my way of expressing myself and say, hey, I don't know if I can do this. Let's see if I can. And it turned out all right.
That's cool. Yeah, I could see that. It's definitely a challenge. I feel like every time I've competed, there's been something about it that's been a challenge. Like more recently, I've said to myself, well, I'm 40 now. Can I get back in shape? I really don't know. I really don't know if this is going to happen. It's exciting when you can still pull it together. for competing as a vegan, as using just mainly vegetables as your food source then, I guess. You had mentioned too that enzymes were a part of that. Is that kind of where the foundation of discovering what later became the supplements that you carry?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, of course, there was almost no options at the time for vegetarians, vegans, that sort of stuff. And I was like, okay, what do I need to do? And I realized that I needed to find a way to extract more amino acids out of the little bit of protein that I was eating. And that led me to discover and develop methodologies and nutritional products that would allow me to do just that. And that's how I just did it to, scratch my own itch sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it turned out all right that it turned out that solved some problems for a lot of other people. And so I was grateful to help out.
That's really cool. So supplements are definitely something that I want to talk about today. And I think that the route that we're going to go for the listening audience here is that Wade has several high quality supplements or products actually that I've been using. I don't want this to come off as a sales pitch though. So we will specifically talk about Wade's products, but more so we're going to talk about what to look for in products of this nature, because I see a lot of confusion out there. I see probiotics in everything nowadays, and I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad. People tell me, whether you need to have it refrigerated or not, or what the case is, for instance. So we'll cover all of that stuff and hopefully answer some questions that listeners have. But before we get to all that, let's start at the foundation, which I'm thinking has to be nutrition. Am I right?
It absolutely is. I mean, the bottom line is nobody can supplement their way out of a bad diet.
Yeah.
And I want to be really clear about that whatever diet a person is following, you want to make sure that you're following one that's optimized for whatever it is that you're trying to do. So, for example, an endurance athlete would probably eat different than, say, a football player, and bodybuilders at different stages in their career might actually have to change their diets relative to what's going on in their body, their age, all sorts of different things. So getting your own diet dialed in is really critical. But I think what we're seeing now is we're actually looking at, how do I have a diet that actually focuses on optimizing my digestion as opposed to just pounding protein or whatever it happens to be, which we kind of did back in the 80s, if you will, 80s and 90s.
Hey, we still do it now. Believe me.
Yeah. And it's like, well, how do I get the most for the least without, damaging my long-term health?
That makes sense. And then overall, just talking about nutrition as a whole, we had spoke a little bit before the show. And you said you had some thoughts on just the overall kind of controversy about the different diets that are out there. There's just, as you said, so many different camps that believe that you need to diet in a certain way. Can you talk more about this?
Yeah, I think social media has become a double-edged sword. And the fact that is that you can go out there and find an incredible amount of information, and you can find a group on just about any topic that you're interested in. And that's wonderful, because oftentimes, when you're off doing this in whatever part of the world you are, you don't have the support or the expertise that you might look to acquire. The problem or the challenge of social media is that we've created this kind of tribalistic atmosphere where we divide ourselves up into these camps. And these camps, as opposed to seeing commonalities, tend to be focused on the differences and also attacking other philosophies or ideologies around diet, as opposed to looking at the common denominators and saying, well, let's see if we can find a more universal idea around diet and performance, and why maybe someone might respond better to a high fat diet versus someone who would respond better to a vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and so what happens is, there's this kind of polarization, because I'm identified with whatever diet camp that I'm in, that everybody else is bad or evil or stupid or whatever it happens to be. And that just doesn't get anybody anywhere. And I think one of the great things that you have on your show is that you're opening up that parameter to expose people to other ideas and other philosophies that can help people, do better in their own lives. It's really simple. And I really respect that.
You're
doing on your podcast. I think it's really, really great. So going back to that, I would say that, whatever diet that a person is following, and I think you want to select a diet based on your age, your genetics and epigenetics. And we can talk a little bit about that if you like.
Sure.
And the performance parameters or the health parameters, and that could be a subcategory of performance, that a person so desires to be. And with that, I would always want people to keep an eye on being flexible as opposed to rigid. As bodybuilders, we get to a high level of performance by being extremely rigid.
Sure.
And there's a strength in that, because I think the discipline that bodybuilders elicit in from a dietary perspective are second to none in any other sport. There's nobody that has the discipline, the dietary discipline of the bodybuilding crowd.
Absolutely.
The challenge is as we get older, especially, we oftentimes see changes or nutritional deficiencies can emerge that we might not have been aware of in our 20s and 30s, especially if we've been using anabolic agents in order to, extend past our genetic capabilities, I would qualify that as. Because, anytime that you extend past your genetic capabilities with hormones and these type of things, you have to realize that you're going to burn resources inside the body at a faster rate. Huh. So how are you addressing those resources? Because, the body's just revving. It's like an engine. If you're driving at 60 miles an hour, you burn a certain amount of gas. If you're driving at 150 miles an hour, you're going to burn a lot more gas and wear things out quicker. It just stands to reason. And the body's no different than a high performance machine. So are you taking in consideration that, hey, I'm demanding a higher level of performance. I'm putting a diet that is built to build muscle, to grow the body, to achieve what's called, super normal body fat levels. It's not normal to be walking around in single digit body fat percentages for most of the population for extended period of time, or carrying like prodigious amounts of muscle mass. And those things put a massive drain on the internal organs, on the digestive systems of the body, on the nervous system of the body. And there's benefits to that, but there's also side effects of that. And I think it's important to look at it from a balanced perspective and say, hey, what can I do to make sure I keep this little body going as long as I can and do the things that I love to do in the gym and outside of it?
Well, let me ask you then. And I look at myself and I say, huh, I'm doing some of these things. And I know that some of my listeners are doing some of these things too. My question then is how can we tell? How can we tell what resources are getting depleted?
I think in today's world, it's great. I think you want to really go at testing on a deep level. And that is, first and foremost, I think anybody should be looking at their endocrine system, their liver enzymes, their hormone profiles, these type of things, whether they're natural or choosing to supplement their diet with anabolic agents. And if you go with anabolic agents, it's even more critical to maintain stringent testing protocols to watch out what's going on and to see if there's any changes. I think that's the first stage. I think on top of that, you might want to look at genetic testing, which are now available through lots of different genetic testing companies that provide services. I'm not going to advertise for any of them, but you can just Google it. It's a couple $100. You can do a test. Take it to your naturopathic doctor, someone who's gauged at looking at genetic risk factors and optimizing your hormone profiles. And I think that's a great avenue. And if you get into more holistic side of things, you can look at, tests like live blood cell analysis. You can get genetic profile epigenetics, and you can look at hair analysis. There's all sorts of vehicles that are out there to look at, which will allow you to see toxicity levels. You can look at your blood under a microscope to see if it's coagulating a lot because of undigested proteins in the system, which is very common in the bodybuilding market. Particularly, I see that a lot. Or if you might have some areas in your life, like rouleau or things like that in your blood cells that may set you up for conditions down the road. You can look at microbiome tests, another one, which is looking at your particular probiotic levels inside the body and, what's going on and if there is some potential challenges coming your way down the road. And you can nip those in the bud, as they say, a stitch in time saves nine. So I think now, today, there's no excuse for someone who is, attempting to optimize their performance or their muscle mass or their lowest body fat levels through following a dietary system to get these testings and make sure that you're optimizing your performance and making sure your inner health is as strong as, say, your outer representation of that.
Okay. So a lot of my listeners and myself are familiar with some of the basic testing. You know, we can go to our MD. We could go to some of the websites online. Like there's one that a lot of people use in bodybuilding, Private Lab MD. There's a lot of stuff that you could go to get a prescription to then have a blood draw done and check all your basic stuff, the liver function, your test levels, all, you know, and you can get fairly complicated with it. But to find out about these other tests, these like for epigenetics and stuff like that, I see you're saying, you know, that there's testing online. You could do a Google search. Are there good tests? Are there bad tests? Are there tests, I guess, that are better than others? Because this is all brand new to me, honestly. And I don't know exactly the direction that I would want to go into. If I were to say, hey, when I get off this call with Wade, I'm going to follow up on this. I'm not exactly sure what would be my best avenue. And so I figured I wanted to ask that question now, because if I'm thinking that, I have a feeling that some of the listeners are probably thinking that too.
Sure. For basic genetic tests to look at your genetic risk factors, there's a great company called 23andMe that you can leverage. That's very simple. It'll give you, it's really cool. It shows your ancestry. It says just your background, what genetic risk factors you have. It's really, really interesting just from a pure research point, but then it allows you to look at and say, hey, you know, my family, let's say history might have a propensity for prostate cancer. So, you know, making sure that I had enough selenium and zinc levels, which you can test for with things like hair analysis, or also you can look at mineral testing that your NDs can do. So sometimes your medical doctor will focus mostly on the hormone side of things or liver function and that type of stuff. You really want to get an ND, which is a naturopathic doctor who's familiar at looking at some of these other factors from a nutritional side that you can use to support your health in the long term. And for myself, I have an ND. You can check her out. Her name's Katrine Volinsky. And she works with our company and she's my personal ND. And she takes on clients all around the world online. And what she does is she takes a look at your genetics and your epigenetics and will derive a number of different tests that she uses depending on what factors might be dominant for a person. So for example, you don't need all the tests, but you might be certain tests that you might need that I might not need, or vice versa to someone else. So going from that, we check those tests. A Viome test is another one that people can use, developed by Naveen Jain, which is a home test where you can actually test to see if you have active probiotics, if you're taking a probiotic supplement or that sort of stuff. And it's the testing just keeps getting better and better. And I think over the next decade, we're going to be to definitively answer the equations on how well nutritional supplements work or don't work, as opposed to just relying on anecdotal evidence.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. This is fascinating, man. This is stuff that this is a treat to me. I don't normally feel like I get to hear this kind of stuff. So I'm excited. This is fun. Where do we want to go next before we get into the supplements? What am I missing here as far as nutrition goes? Like let's talk about foods. I mean, I know that you lean more toward the vegetarian style diet. Can we stay? What's the benefit? Or let me say this. What's the disadvantage for us in bodybuilding that are eating meats? Is there a disadvantage? Can we do this and can we stay healthy?
I think you can. I think you can stay healthy. I think the biggest challenge is, of course, is, you know, factory meats versus, organic or wild game. And I think if I was to be in the meat eating world, and I have a lot of friends and colleagues who are, I would go towards at least organic. If I can, make sure it's, you know, naturally grass fed animals, or even better, going to wild game.
Okay.
And I think Charles Poliquin talks a lot about that sort of methodology. He's done a lot of research in that area. It's had a lot of high level performers in a lot of different sports, I think, which is a testament to his work. And he also bases his dietary components based on the neurochemistry of people, which I think is pretty fascinating. He looks at neurochemistry and made associations with Chinese medicine to determine what might be the best dietary selections for a given person. But I think to make a long story short, yes, you can be very healthy meat. And for a lot of people, I think, I would say maybe 25% of the population, it's probably essential. Hmm. And that's based on their genetics, their epigenetics, lifestyle components. I can say as a vegetarian, I hate using labels, by the way, but I know we need them just to kind of identify certain patterns or tendencies in the diet. It is a bit more work. Mm. As far as from a building muscle athletic side, I don't think it's an advantage.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways it's a disadvantage. I think it's harder to get leaner as a vegetarian simply because your digestive efficiency is a lot simpler and it's a lot more difficult to get protein in your diet. And of course, without relying on, say, plant proteins or plant powders and stuff, and you don't have the same metabolic cost. It's a vegetarian diet is more metabolically efficient than I would say a meat-based diet. But as a bodybuilder, you're trying to burn off that fat, and you know, protein offers food satiety. Makes you kind of holds the hunger bears off for a while longer than plant-based food. And I know if my protein drops below a certain state, you know, I want massive amounts of carbs. And I can tell pretty much if I've had enough protein or not. So I think I'm not here to, you know, start preaching of that everybody's got to become a vegetarian. I think you can be healthy on any given diet, but provided that diet is suited for you at this time based on your genetics, your hormones, and your particular goals. And that's what I'm here to advocate, is let's get out of positionalities. Let's get out of tribalism and diets. Let's actually just look at the results and tweak from there. And that's a scientific approach.
Okay, I got you. So to basically sum it up, you're talking about doing the testing that you've discussed to then discover what really does work best for you nutritionally.
Yeah, and then there's one other thing to that. The greatest tool that you have at your resource is your own brain and your own experience. And one of the things that I find a little bit disturbing is that a lot of people are just turning over turning over their minds to an outside authority who may not be, generally isn't aware of the nuances of your own physical body.
Yeah.
So for example, if I listen to an interview of any given expert out there on a particular topic, you know, the course of an hour, that person's going to summarize and make a lot of generalizations to get a certain piece of the message over. However, if you were to work with that person individually, you might discover that there are some particular nuances that would apply to you that is not the case of a generalized sense. And that's where people start running into trouble by quoting so-and-so, or this person did that, and therefore I'm going to do it, or that's the gospel. And that's where people start running into trouble. So I think testing, I use it as a way to benchmark and gauge what's happening without my own personal biases, but I associate it with the qualitative experience of how do I feel? How does my physique look? Or how do I performing based in the world that day? Am I sleeping lots? Am I tired? Do I have brain fog? You know, these little things that as bodybuilders, we all know and experience and can tell experientially. I think I don't want to discount that in the idea of science. So I think it's a balance between getting the right testing, but also cross-correlating it and being honest with the feedback you're getting from your body. So if you're standing there going to the bathroom and you're peeing blood, listen, I know you might be huge, but you need to get some testing and get some users recognize, hey, guess what? I've got some things going on. I got to take action around it.
Yeah. Or for instance, if you're eating a lot of a certain food and you're not, I mean, something that's much, much less dramatic. You're eating a lot of a certain food and you're just holding a lot of water all the time. Then maybe that's a visual cue, or, you know, I get what you're saying, to use your head. I like that. I like that a lot to start. Moving on to supplements then, what would be the number one supplement that you would suggest people look into for digestive health?
Well, there's actually two, and I'll give you the reasons for it. And particularly because I know you have a lot of bodybuilders on here who consume massive amounts of protein. I've been down that road. I know what that's like. And what I have seen through the thousands of bodybuilders that I've coached is digestive enzymes are probably the easiest way to optimize their performance. Hmm. They've been proven to accelerate recovery dramatically for people and alleviate a lot of the digestive distress that happens with bodybuilders. And you go into any bodybuilding gym, I mean, you go walk into the bathroom sometimes and you go, something's not right. The bottom line is how do you optimize that? And I think proteolytic digestive enzymes should be on the supplement list for virtually every bodybuilder out there. I think it's going to make a big difference. And if you do the research and you find out the inside track of a lot of the top performing bodybuilders, many of them use digestive enzymes throughout their career to help them, you know, convert that protein into the amino acids that their body uses without creating a lot of problems.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to this thing because I want to go a little bit deeper into it. But you said there were two. What was the other one?
The other one is a proteolytic probiotic. So if you look at people's bloods, if you look at people's digestive systems, where they run into trouble is, for the most part, undigested proteins inside the body. And that gets into your blood. And you can see this in a live blood cell analysis. You can check it out. You can probably, someone in your local area, if you Google live blood cell analysis, you can go there. They'll take some blood, put it under a microscope. That'll come up on a what's called dark field microscopy. It's a tongue tire. And you'll actually see your blood under a microscope. And you can do this before you eat protein. You can see it after. And you can see the changes of how your body is reacting to that. And what happens when you have undigested protein in the blood cells all coagulate together and they get kind of sticky and thick. And that is a big issue for people because that's not a condition that leads to optimal performance, better training, and that sort of thing. So how do you convert that? And I believe that what happens is when you have undigested protein building up in your intestinal tract, and a lot of people do, what happens is that undigested protein starts to serve bad bacteria, if you will.
Oh, really?
And these bad guys, Here's the reality. 10% of the bacteria in our body are good, 10% are bad, and 80% are opportunists.
Okay.
And that is there's somewhere between 250 and 500 strains in the average person. And there's 10 times the amount of bacteria in our body than there are cells in the body. And these are essential for not just digesting our food. They're essential for about 80% of our immune system. And they're also essential between the gut-brain connection of producing a lot of the biochemicals that make us happy, that make us hungry, that run a whole host of mental conditions. And I see a lot of people who suffer from depression, particularly. And there's a lot of people in the bodybuilding world that I say would do, especially when they come off drugs. Sure. Often there's a real letdown psychologically. The euphoria kind of goes away. And also their ability to assimilate and utilize protein and convert that to the peptide chains that make our neurochemistry work is been severely compromised.
Sure.
And, you know, depression can come in and all that sort of stuff. And what they don't realize is the bugs are running wild in their system, producing indulgate, all these neurotoxins that are affecting how they think and how they feel.
Let me stop you for a second, just because, and I want to be clear on this. You said there's 10 times the amount of bacteria than there are cells in the body.
Yes.
So when you say cells, what do you mean by cells? You mean like body?
Our body.
So there's 10 times the amount of bacteria than there is body, is what you're telling me.
that's right.
Wow.
So if you look at there's a, you know, let's say 100 trillion cells inside the body.
Yeah.
Then there is 10 times that in bacteria in the body. So there's a whole theory out there. You can check it out. Actually, the human body is actually closer to mycelium than any other species on the planet. Mycelium is the mushroom kingdom. It's kind of weird. We're like these giant bags of water, which are very similar to a mushroom in functioning, but just a little bit more mobile. And without these bacterias, we'd be dead. Wow. You take out the bacteria. And when we're done, the bacteria just eat the body afterwards. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, I know I can get into some weird topics, but
you can check I guess so.
there's a guy, I forget his name offhand, but if you look up the, he's an expert on mycelium, and he starts talking about the connection between mycelium and the human body. It's pretty fascinating. And then now as bacteriology and probiotics have now moved to the forefront of health and wellness and performance research, we're going to see in the next decade, probably it's probably going to be the biggest field since the development of anabolic steroids.
Interesting. I could see that. And like I was saying earlier, I think that probiotics are getting to be so popular. I think everybody's jumping on board with it too. You can, in the next 5 years, I predict there will be Snickers bars with probiotics.
Well, this leads to the challenge of this, the world of social media, of marketing, of online representation. And that is, as soon as a piece of science comes out that says, oh, you know what, probiotics are good, you can bet there is a host of people who are going to take that piece of science and they're going to create what I call, they're going to put a mishmash of maybes in a bottle. Sure. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. And they're going to sell it to someone, leveraging that research without really providing a quality product or something that is even as efficient or effective for a person at all. They're just in it for the profit. And unfortunately, I've been in the nutritional supplement industry for literally 20 plus years. I've owned and operated my own supplement company. I've owned and operated my own nutritional business. You know, had a retail store. I represented companies as an athlete. I've been a purchaser of products since I was 15 years old. So I've kind of been on all levels of the industry. Yeah. And I can say for a fact, 95% of the companies they're not in it for the right reasons. They're in it for the profits. And then about 5% of the companies, I think, are great, and they're in it because they're passionate of the owners. Usually they had their own bone to pick or something they had to challenge, and they developed products and services that actually made a difference in their lives and found a market for it. And so you got to sort through, the wheat from the chafe and find the companies that make a difference in the world. And that's how I've been in my own journey.
Okay. So probiotics you carry, it's called probiotic P3OM. Mm-hmm. What is beneficial? What's good about this product? And then on the bigger scale, you know, what are we looking for when it does come to finding a quality probiotic?
Great questions all around. I think I do a webinar on this as well, because it's such a big issue. I mean, you walk into a Whole Foods or you walk into a nutritional supplement store and you look on the shelf and there's like 50 different types of probiotics. And you go to the fridge and there's another 10. And should I have a refrigerated ones, or should I have one off the shelf? And should I have one that has one strain? Should I have one with, you know, 50 strains? Yeah. How many millions or billions of counts do I have?
Believe me, this is questions I've asked myself. And I think everybody listening has asked this stuff too. Like everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I go into a nutritional supplement store here in Vancouver every week, and I look at the shelves and see what's out there. And I go, you know, I'm an expert in the area, and I find something each and every week. I've got to investigate. You know, it's like, man, how do you keep up with this? But what I can say is this. For me, I believe you want to be able to find some form or supporting information that proves that probiotic actually is maintainable in the gastrointestinal tract, because many of the probiotics that are out there today aren't. End of story. And so you go, well, how do I prove that? Well, how we proved it is we created a patent around it. We developed a specific probiotic strain and put it through a patented process, because if you patent a product, you have to demonstrate scientifically that it works. Huh. So I always say, no patent, no proof. Number two, I would say I stay away from the refrigerated probiotics. And the reason why is I've been in the industry, like I said, in the business side of it since 1998, so literally 20 years. And I'm aware of the challenges of producing a product, sending it to a warehouse, taking that warehouse, sending it to a distribution facility or to a store, yeah, and ensuring that that stays refrigerated through that entire process. And then that the process, whether, you know, sometimes it goes across state line, it can be irradiated, all these different things can happen that would actually limit or completely eliminate it active probiotic strains in that product. And so for the most part, it's just too darn difficult on a refrigerated probiotic. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't refrigerate your probiotic. And the benefits of refrigerating a probiotic is this: it slows down the activity of the product so that it doesn't run out. It doesn't run out of living materials to stay active. So for example, when you get a probiotic in a form, it needs to have some port of food and stay in a relatively suspended state until it gets inside the body where there's lots of moisture and lots of heat. Hmm. That's what makes the probiotic, start to grow and eventually double inside the body, and whether it's a colonizer or whether it's a transient strain. So that's the point of refrigeration. I prefer to use freeze-dried probiotics, and the reason why is simply for transportation reasons. A freeze-dried product eliminates the moisture. It puts the probiotic in a suspended state of animation, so it doesn't move, like it doesn't double or multiply very quickly. Yeah. You can put a little bit of essentially food for that probiotic, and it'll live. And then as soon as you put it in the body, now it becomes active in that hot, moist environment and can do its thing.
So you're telling me then that the processing for the refrigerated products is a different process, that the stuff on the shelf, is that all freeze dried then?
Generally, yes.
Okay. I understand where you're going with this. And then the stuff that's in the refrigerator is more than likely not, if it needs to be refrigerated from the time that it was produced to the time that you take it home. And that makes sense. The logistics of that just makes sense just on a basic logical level that, yeah, it would be hard to keep that cold all the way through that process. So, cause I've heard both ways that that this is the better one. And you know what, when I walk in the store as a layman to this, I think to myself, like, that's in the refrigerator. That's gotta be more special. You know, that's gotta be the better one, cause it has to be kept cold. You know, it seems like more of a process. And so therefore I feel that must be what I need, but you're correcting me on this. So your product, which is P3OM, am I saying that right?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if you maybe pronounced the ohm or something.
No.
Can you break this down for me? You said that because it looks like there's two different probiotics in there, or how does this work? Because I see two numbers on the back of the bottle. What am I looking at here?
Great question. So the probiotic that we developed, we took a strain with a medical doctor that we worked with, and they went off and took a strain called L. plantarum OM, which is a very aggressive strain inside the body, and they put it through a process which essentially is a training program. In other words, we subjected that probiotic to a variety of conditions which forced the probiotic to develop capabilities that exceed what normal L. plantarum does. That process was patented, and what the patent allowed, the allowable claims on the on that probiotic, and you can look it up on our website or whatever, it actually demonstrates the allowable claims. You can look it up. It's a U.S. patent. It's antiviral, antiretroviral. It's proteolytic, and that means it digests protein. It's maintainable in the gastrointestinal tract. That is a really critical factor. Serves as a screening agent against pharmaceuticals. It's just like a super probiotic. Basically, we use the same principles that we know that's happened with antibiotics. Antibiotics came out and saved millions and millions of lives. However, anytime that you take an antibiotic, it'll kill off good, bad, and ugly. And there's a certain amount of the bacteria strains inside the body that will be resistant to that antibiotic. And you have to take in bigger and bigger dosage. And eventually you have these resist, you know, antibiotic resistant strains of bacteria, which are causing so much havoc in hospitals and medical centers now. One of the most dangerous places for you to go is a hospital. It's not the surgery that's a problem. It's the infection from the surgery that sometimes they can't correct. And I have friends who are in that industry, like Dr. Horst Filzer, who runs a wound healing clinic in Bullhead City, Arizona. And he talks about this. And, you know, he's the guy that put the first stent in the body for heart surgery. So he knows his business. And he's explained to me why this is such a big issue. So the principles behind that are the same as what we did with the probiotic. We subjected the bacteria to very, very difficult conditions, kind of like Navy SEALs boot camp. And those surviving members have these unique capabilities. In other words, they're just total badasses.
Yeah.
And they double in the body every 20 minutes, which is just crazy. That means that you get a lot more. So it's not just about the count. Oftentimes people say, well, how many million or billion or whatever do you have on the count?
And that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, it's not just the count. It's how quickly that doubles in the body. So P3M doubles in the body every 20 minutes.
Huh.
The other thing is about L-Plantarum OM the P3OM strain that we've cultivated is that it's a transient strain. And let me explain to your listeners what's the difference between a transient strain and a colonizing strain. A colonizing strain is a strain that it goes into your body, gets inside the digestive system, lives there and cultivates and grows like a little colony, sets up a country, if you will, inside there and performs its function on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And the challenge is a lot of the probiotics out there, which are labeled as colonizers, don't actually colonize in the body. And only until recently has the general public have had access to test for themselves. And there's a company called the Ubiome. It's by Naveen Jain, developed this test that you can do at home to see how many active strains of probiotics you actually have. So if you're out there right now and you've been taking, you know, Acidophilus and Bifidus and whatever bacteria culture that you bought, you can actually do a home test, cost you a couple hundred bucks, and can tell if you have those strains active in your digestive system. And guess what? The results are. Naveen says that almost no probiotics on the market actually colonize inside the system.
No kidding.
And we understood that a long time ago, but we didn't have a way of definitively proving it. But what we did, why we cultivated the P3OM is we knew it was a transient strain. We knew it just didn't hang out in the digestive system, that it went through the whole body. Hmm. We knew that it killed off bad guys, the bad bacteria, which cause all the problems in the body. We knew that it digests protein. You know, for example, a virus hooks onto your body through a protein coating that connects with your cells and starts creating, you know, replication RNA into the body, which takes over the DNA. Well, it can't do that without a protein coating. Drugs operate oftentimes with a protein delivery system. Retroviruses have protein coatings. Tumors have protein coatings that disguise the immune system. So the immune system can't see the tumor and it grows. So we wanted a bacteria that would go out and eat up that protein and allow our immune system to do what it's going to do, wipe out the bad guys and break down any undigested protein so that we could use those amino acids for, you know, building our brain chemicals, for building our muscles and for just feeling better and, you know, obviously looking better too. That's great. And that's what we developed that product for. And it's a proven patented product and that's what makes it so different. But we do say it doesn't colonize in the body. So we recommend people just take four caps every night before they go to bed. It goes through the whole blood, cleans things out, and it's on its way. So it's really simple and easy to use.
Okay. So in general with probiotics, is that what you would suggest is nighttime consumption of them?
Well, you know, different strains are going to require different. So our strain is developed specifically for getting undigested protein out of the system. And, you know, during the day we're eating a lot, but at nighttime you're not. And what this allows this particular strain to do is, you know, it's like the street cleaners. They come out at night, they clean the streets, they wash out the gutters, they clean out your whole system. And you wake up in the morning, and I'll tell you that here's how you tell if you've got undigested protein in your body or not. If you wake up in the morning with brain fog, bad breath, a general sluggishness, chances are you've got undigested protein, you know, rolling around in your blood. And a lot of guys will take coffee right off the bat, because coffee, when you take it in the right, will separate your blood cells temporarily.
No kidding.
That you get that, you kind of feel up and moving, and you seem really, you know, you seem with it. Well, that's one of the benefits of coffee. Long-term, it has some questionable effects, but that's why so many people go that route. And with this, it's a way that you don't necessarily need coffee to have that great feeling in the morning. Although, hey, I love to have a good coffee myself, so I'm not here to say don't drink coffee. I'm just saying that's one of the reasons, or the easy way to tell if you're not digesting your protein.
Wow, that's kind of mind blowing. I'm gonna try this tonight. I'm gonna put this to the test and see, because I've been taking this first thing in the morning, and then I don't eat for an hour or so. But I thought that I'd want to get it in my system before I started consuming foods. Shows me that I could definitely improve the way I take my supplements. That's for sure.
Well, I'll add to that, so not to discredit you. One of the things that I advocate for people who are following any probiotic regimen, or actually any nutritional regimen where they're looking to get an effect in the body, and this goes back to orthomolecular nutrition, which was developed by William Hoffer and Dr. Hawkins and Linus Pauling, all brilliant geniuses who were treating illnesses with nutritional supplements back in the 70s.
Yeah.
They have what they would do is they would take say 90 days or a period of time where they would take super physiological dosages. They would take way higher dosages than RDA or recommendations, you know, because RDA was developed what avoids disease. They would take like high levels of dosages until they've got what's called intestinal tolerance. In other words, they broke the gut barrier and that you get the runs. So you take the product till you get the runs.
Okay.
And then you would, so let's use it with an example like vitamin C. You would take vitamin C in high dosages, you know, maybe going up to 10, 15, 20 milligrams. And then as soon as you get the runs, you would cut back the dosage a bit, and you would stay at that dosage until you got the runs again. And then you would cut back the dosage again and cut back the dosage again, because that means your body couldn't absorb any more vitamin C. And you can apply this not to every nutritional supplement, but it's something that you certainly can for probiotics. And I think taking a higher than normal dosage for 30, 60, 90 days is a great way to go. And you can also do this with your diets. So not just talk about supplements. Let's say you start researching, you know, kefir or sauerkraut or miso. You know, eat it every day for 30 days, multiple times a day, and see what the result is in your body, so that you can build up the amount of that probiotic in the system and get an effective result. And I think a lot of people just don't give it enough time, because if you're making a challenge, particularly with probiotics, you might get a little bit of digestive distress for 2 or 3 days, just in the adjustment period, as there's kind of like a war going on in your intestines between the various probiotic strains. And that'll, you know, resolve usually within inside of a week, if it's the right strain for you.
All right, man, we're running out of time already. I mean, we have time here, but we are moving along here, and there's so much more that I want to talk about. Really quick, I want to throw in, I got to ask, what do you think about kombucha as far as probiotics go?
Well, I'm a bit of a kombucha connoisseur.
Yes. Yes.
I was just down in LA, and of course, there's a great place called Erewhon, which is kind of like a high-end version of Whole Foods, if you can believe that. And they have a kombucha rack. I think they have about 100 different types of kombucha, and I've probably sampled at least half of them.
Oh, my God.
And I travel around the world and I try different kombuchas. And kombuchas range from literally something that's really soda to something that's, you know, truly beneficial from the body. And again, it's just more about experimentation. And I was trying one recently. It was a brand, I forget the brand of it, but it had kombucha and CBD, if you will. I mean, it's CBD in everything in California.
Right, right.
So I tried that. I like that one. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, I know that the listeners are smiling right now, because I nonstop have been talking about kombucha for several months now. And every day I get pictures in either Instagram or Facebook of somebody's hand holding a kombucha and saying, "What do you think of this one? I'm going to try this. What do you think of this product?" You know, stuff like that. So it's kind of been my kick lately, man. It's my favorite thing. So that excites me. One more thing that I really like about you, Wade. Let's move on to digestive enzymes. Masszymes. That's your product, correct?
Exactly. And I cultivated this product again because I wanted to figure out how to optimize protein absorption and utilization inside my body because I had such a low protein diet. And what I realized is that most of the enzyme formulations on the market were just kind of general all-purpose enzymes to deal with digestion. And the big three is amylase, lipase, and protease. Amylase digests carbohydrates, lipase digests fats, and protease digests proteins. And a good indication if you're deficient in one of those would be this. If you're very sensitive to blood sugar or carbohydrates and stuff, chances are you're not so great at, you probably have low amylase inside the body.
Because that's what breaks down the carbs?
Correct.
I see. Okay.
And if you have a lot of skin conditions, usually lipase is a problem. You don't have enough lipase. And a lot of guys who are using anabolics and stuff will utilize a lot of lipase and they become deficient in that, or they have low, low fat diets. I was on one of those way back in the day, and lipase becomes an issue. And that's a lot of skin problems can be solved with lipase. And then protease, of course, if you have a lot of brain fog, you have a lot of gastrointestinal issues. If you get a lot of gas or bloating, you're probably not breaking down your protein. Or if you feel sluggish or suffering from depressive states a lot, oftentimes this is directly related to your inability to break down the protein you're consuming. So it's not about how many grams you get inside your body. It's how many grams you get out of the grams you're eating. It's like how much actually gets into your muscles where you can use and utilize it. And here's the challenge with proteases. When your body goes through digestion, and I'm trying to go quicker because I know we're pressed for time.
Yeah, no, but this is great stuff, man. I appreciate it all. Thank you.
Yeah, you've got hydrochloric acid comes into the body about 30 to 60 minutes after you begin digestion. And what happens is the pH of your stomach changes and various proteolytic enzymes will break down or cleave amino acids at different pH levels. So there's, 6.0, 4.5, and 3.0 are the major proteases, like 6.0, 4.5, and 3.0. Those three proteases will work in a range of pH levels that will allow you to fully break down the amino acids or the protein into the amino acids. The other key is it helps to have high levels of hydrochloric acid as we get older. Particularly after 40, most of us don't produce enough hydrochloric acid. So we want to add that into the diet as well so we can build that up in order to have strong hydrochloric acid. Number one, it wipes out pathogens. But number two, it's also essential in breaking down the proteins. And it's also key in developing the ions that helps our immune system. So those two things. And then we have actually a couple more enzyme or proteolytic enzymes in it that become reactivated in the lower intestinal tract. So you get, make sure that you break down all that protein. We also threw in another eight different different enzymes, amylase, lipase, galactylase, glycomucase. I mean, you got all these different ones in there in order that you break down, whether it's plants, whether it's foods. And to give you an example, I'm a vegetarian and my business partner is a keto guy.
Okay.
We couldn't be further apart on the, our dietary choice spectrum.
Oh, sure.
And we both use and love this product because it makes our digestion smooth. It makes our trips to the bathroom simple and easy. We don't have the gas, the smell, all that sort of stuff. None of those problems. And we're able to perform at a high level. And both of us really don't eat that much protein relative to our colleagues in the industry who are on very high protein diets.
So when I first got your products and I reached out to you and I said, thanks, for sending the stuff out. And I'm really excited to try these things. You said, hey, I want you to try something. You said, take a serving of the enzymes and put them into a bowl of oatmeal, mix it up and let it sit there for a little bit and see what happens. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, and I actually shot a little video of this, so I should post this on Instagram or something. It literally totally liquefied the oatmeal. At first I thought, well, it's getting a little bit runnier. Okay, that's interesting. But as I let it sit, it totally turned into just a liquid. So that's the amylase that's at work, I take it.
That's correct. And another thing that you can do, and this is really powerful for guys who are looking to put on more muscle mass, and this has been proven scientifically, take a protein shake, blend it with the digestive enzymes in it, the proteolytic enzymes, and then take it to the workout with you and sip it during your workout. It radically improves your recovery, your strength, and do that for the next 6 to 8 weeks and see what your results are. It's a phenomenal way to start getting the amino acids into your muscles right actually during the workout. They start to recover instantly. And that was something that Dr. Hatfield had talked about years and years ago.
Yeah.
And it's now, you try it. And anybody that's been working out for a while, do that for a few weeks and you'll see the difference.
Okay.
You'll also notice the shake tastes different and it will be a lot more liquid than, so it's like pre-digesting your protein into the amino acids that your body is. Because remember, your body needs amino acids, not protein.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to try this too then. I've got two homework assignments here that I'm going to try.
Right on.
I don't know. How are you doing on time here, Wade?
I'm still good.
Okay. Cause I mean, I could go, you know, as long as we need to. I just don't want to take up your time. But I really would like to talk about a couple more things here. This is something I know nothing about this, and this is one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you on. And I know it's not necessarily the prime product that you sell, and this isn't the prime thing for digestion, but I started doing some reading. Tell me about your product HCL and exactly what we have going on here.
Well, I think HCL, and this is going to be another area that you're going to see a lot more of in the next 5 years. As we know, there's a lot of people out there that are suffering from heartburn and acid reflux.
Yes.
And this happens a lot for bodybuilders, especially post-contest when you get off the diet and you start, you know, pigging out and going crazy.
Yeah, and also when we are at the pinnacle of off-season, when we are just cramming the food. I've had it terrible in both situations.
Yeah. And it's a very, very common, not just in the bodybuilding world, but out through the general public. So let me explain what hydrochloric acid does so that people can go out there and do their own research. But basically, hydrochloric acid is essential to the digestive process. It's our own body produces this. And in order to produce it, number one, we need to be fully hydrated. That's usually not an issue for bodybuilders because bodybuilders are probably the most conscientious group about hydration that there is. So that's usually not an issue. But as we consume a lot of food, what typically happens, especially as we age, and usually by the time we're 40, we're producing maybe 20-30% of the hydrochloric acid that we used to. So oftentimes we had diets that, you know, hey man, we could just eat this stuff all day long when we were 20. And the time we're 40, like, no man, I can't do another chicken breast or I can't do another whatever.
Totally.
You just can't do it. Well, why is that? Well, because what happens is our body doesn't produce enough hydrochloric acid. And there is I'll give you a little physiological lesson for our listeners today. And there's a flap on the top of our intestinal tract called the lower esophageal sphincter. And basically what happens is when this food enters, goes past the esophagus into the stomach, it stays there for 30 to 60 minutes, and then hydrochloric acid is released by the body. Now, when the hydrochloric acid hits a certain level of pH, in other words, there's enough hydrochloric acid in there, that signals for the flap to close. The flap closes, and you know, peristaltic contraction happens, and then the body breaks down that food. And then minerals are added to the acid on the way out of into the stomach and the intestines that buffers the acid so we don't burn holes in our stomach. And then the bacteria cultures inside the intestinal tract finish the job. So enzymes cut the grass and probiotics mulch the grass. But HCL is kind of like the gasoline for the lawnmowers. And so with this hydrochloric acid, if we don't have enough, the flap stays open. And then some of the acid will splash up in the esophagus, in the esophagus, and also we'll get this feeling of heartburn, or we get acid reflux because that flat, and then you know, start burping up and all that sort of stuff. And this happens really, really common. It happened to me way back in 2003 after I did the Mr. Universe contest. I didn't know what was going on, and then I found all this discovery later on as I learned about enzymes and probiotics. But as I got older, I'll share another story. I was traveling in Asia and I got a parasite, and my ND, Katrine, she says to me, "You got a parasite." And I'm like, "What? Really? I got a parasite? What do you mean?" And so anyways, won't get in all the messy details, but what I did is in order to eliminate it, I took high dosages of hydrochloric acid. And how you do that to reset your hydrochloric acid levels is you start at maybe one or two capsules a day before or after you eat. Okay. And then maybe one to four capsules on an empty stomach a couple times a day. And you just keep building up the dosage until you feel that kind of burning sensation. And then you cut back from there and you stay at that dosage for maybe 30 days and up towards of 60 days until that, again, that same thing as before, you get that tolerance level, you get a little burning, you cut it back, you get a little burning, you cut it back. And that's usually enough to kickstart your hydrochloric acid levels, because these guys also wipe out pathogens. They're involved in your immune system. It breaks down your foods inside the body, your protein and stuff. And for most of us, as we get older, we just don't produce enough in the body, and that causes problems. And of course, unfortunately, the pharmaceutical agents, what they do is they give you like a proton pump, or something that coats the stomach. If you're getting an over-the-counter, one of these, pink products or whatever that coats the stomach, or you take a capsule or a tablet, and that creates a coating. But what that does is that actually further exacerbates your protein digesting capability. And over the long term, if you look at the proton pump research and pharmaceutical agents, you're only supposed to be on those for 4 to 6 weeks. Hmm. And then you're supposed to get off them because it has a variety of challenges and condition. And guess what? Now you need another product and another one and another one, and you get down that rabbit hole. So the bottom line is, it's a way to avert that system, optimize your digestion, boost your immune system, and correct a lot of gas, bloating, or parasitical conditions that people might fall into. This is just the human body, and we're subjected to these things.
And this right here is where my mind was kind of blown, because my thought has always been in digestive issues were something I had for a long time. I don't remember if I mentioned it before, but I had used Bactrim for acne for an extended period of time. And believe me, I had been on Bactrim for maybe a year, something like that. And I got to the point where my stomach had hurt so bad, and I didn't connect it with being with this antibiotic. Eventually I did, because I'd take a pill and 20 minutes later, my stomach would be hurting. It got to be that bad. It took years to correct this. And one of the issues I had was heartburn and, indigestion. I suffered so much of this type of stuff. And my thought had always been that I had too much acid, that my stomach was producing too much. And to think of actually taking anything that was acidic, anything like that, that would actually add to the amount of acid that I thought I already had, was totally the opposite of what I thought I needed to do. That was absolutely the route that I went down, was like a protein pump inhibitor, or like you said, something to coat my stomach, some Tums, something to reduce acid. I never thought that what I might have actually needed was more.
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse thinking. And of course, the reality is most people don't have the time or the inclination to actually do the research and find out what's going on. And, even for myself, I didn't learn this for years and years and years later. And having gone through my own digestive issues back in the day, and then being able to work in the field and work with some of the, the sharpest minds in the industry before I found out about this. So where does that lead the average person that's, working a job and got family and all these other responsibilities? They don't have time to find this information out. And that's why we're so passionate about sharing this information and sharing with people. Hey, you know what? There are natural alternative solutions that, in my opinion, work better and are more effective for people suffering from digestive issues. And it's my job to go out there and let people know, because I'm very passionate about people living long and living strong and being able to look and feel their best until they, till the expiry numbers come up and it's time to, kick the bucket. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
let's go into the grave in a barrel roll, as opposed to like kind of whimpering and sliding away.
I'm calling it my performance enhanced life. I'm trying to optimize everything to be the best that it can, so that I can get the most out of life, be it in all aspects, as I continue to age. I'm looking at a final product here. This is called Gluten Guardian. And now that I've got a little bit of education, when I flip the label over, I see a couple things that I am familiar with now. I see amylase, I see protease. So I know that this has some digestive enzymes in it. And I see the word gluten on the front. I understand, because the media has really been educating us on gluten and the issues that can come with this. Can you talk a little bit about those issues? And can you tell me what else is in this product that could benefit somebody that does have a gluten intolerance? And also, how widespread is gluten intolerance?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the last question first, because it's a great one. And it's something that people need to know about. And I have a lot of family members, for example, that suffered from gluten intolerance. And the bottom line is everybody is gluten intolerance. It's just where you are in the scale. So let's say a scale from 1 to 10. You know, 10 being, as soon as I have a little bit of gluten, I'm in excruciating pain and my life is miserable. And 1 would be, you know, sometimes if I eat, you know, a product with gluten, I feel a little bloated. Okay. Now we'll just use that as an arbitrary scale.
So everybody, you're saying everybody across the board has got some level.
Correct.
Okay.
And how the gluten product is, if you imagine a baseball. Okay, and a baseball, if you've seen it, has that kind of leather stitched cover, and then you have all the yarn inside. The yarn inside is the good stuff with inside the gluten molecule, if you will. The problem is this leather coating that you're, and I'm using that colloquially, it's not really a leather coating, but this coating outside of gluten that doesn't allow you to get to the nutrients on the inside. And so the thing is our bodies don't produce the digestive enzyme to break down gluten, okay? And so what happens is now as digestive illness is starting to go the rage because we've been on monoculture farming for the last, since World War II, the amount of natural bacteria that we get inside our bodies is much limited. And back in the old days, we'd take a carrot out of the garden, we'd eat the bacteria that was on it. We got food that was fresh. We got the bacteria that's on it. Well, now we live in this super antibiotic, antibacterial world where we eliminate all these pathogens, good, bad, and ugly. So we don't build up our own digestive capacities. We don't build up our own good bacteria inside the body. We don't have access to a lot of the nutrient dense foods that we had, you know, 67 years ago. And this is leading to, and we have all these, what I call frankenfoods and genetically modified foods and, you know, excessive gluten product foods. And so now our bodies are being subjected and bombarded to a whole range of food products that we don't have the ability to break down and digest, absorb, utilize, and assimilate. So it turns out that there is one particular enzyme that is out there called, it's called peptidase, DPP4. Okay. So they discovered the enzyme that breaks down gluten. And I was like, well, this is awesome. How come everybody doesn't know about this? Because gluten's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like people who are sensitive, they go into a restaurant where you know, people are making bread or anything, even though they're not eating it, it's in the air. It's in things like soy sauce if you're having sushi, for Pete's sakes. I mean, it's in everything. And for people who are really sensitive, it's a problem. And I, like I said, I have family members. So I said, well, let's put a product together. Let's combine it with a bunch of enzymes that will assist in digestion. Let's put a prodigious amount, because I'm a bodybuilder by nature, right? And the bottom line is I know if I want a better result, chances are I got to up the dosage. I know it sounds kind of old school, but I always say you never know where a person's what I call performance parameter is. Yeah. In other words, what is the dosage of whatever product that you're taking that is going to elicit the result you want without or the minimal amount of side effects, negative side effects? Because the result is actually a side effect of taking a product. It's just the one we want. There's a host of other ones. So what we did is we put a prodigious amount of this peptidase DPP4 inside the product, along with a balance of other digestive enzymes, so that it would work in conjunction. We put another enzyme agent called Astrazyme, which is, in, by the way, in all our enzymes, that enhances the ability by like 30-40%, repairs gut lining and all these wonderful things. It's amazing. But the bottom line is, and we started giving it to people to see what would happen. I street tested it.
Yeah.
I feel a little bloated. If I ate my mom's rolls, my mom makes these crazy, amazing bread rolls. And every time I go home for Christmas, I'd eat it and I would just gain weight like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really bloat and hold a lot of water. Well, that's, if you're holding a lot of water and gaining weight relatively rapidly for something, the reason that is it's probably not digesting in the system.
Huh.
And I'm not going to tell my mom I'm not eating her rolls, because number one, they taste amazing.
Right. Right.
And I'm not in contest mode anymore. So, hey, you know what? So I'll go in, I'll take like 4 or 5 of these things and I'll wipe out a whole pan of rolls and feel amazing.
Yeah. And no bloating, huh?
No bloating.
No kidding.
And I'm like, huh. Okay. So I'm like, this is great. So then I went and took some of my friends who had gluten, intolerance that were really suffering. And I said, listen, why don't you start finding the dosage that works for you? Now, the label, of course, the recommended serving, we say 3 capsules before you eat it. I have found, though, the range is somewhere between 1 and 5 for most people. People on the extreme side, they take 5, let's say, before they're going out to a social occasion.
Okay.
Where they might, you know, have some of these products that might have gluten. And guess what? No problems. They feel great and they feel like they get their life back. They can have fun with their families occasionally and then not go into restaurants or social conditions where they have this fear. And that's why we call it gluten guardian. It just protects you about from the gluten that you might get in your diet.
Man, this is cool. Wade, I'm just sitting here kind of in awe because this is such fun stuff. And once again, I mean, I feel like we're coming to the end of the show here, but there are so many more directions that we could definitely take all of this. Is there anything I'm missing here about digestion that we should cover while I've got you on?
Well, you know, I think just to summarize for the listeners, I want to be clear about something. You can't out-supplement yourself out of a bad diet. I said it to start, and I'm going to say that again. Choose a diet that's based on your performance parameters, one that suits your body, and recognize the diet that works best for you is usually an indicator of where your digestive strengths and where your digestive weaknesses might be. By adding in digestive enzymes and good probiotics and stuff, what that will do is it'll actually increase your digestive flexibility and can provide opportunities for you to avoid damaging conditions down the road due to nutrient deficiency, because all diets have benefits, but they also have deficiencies. And to whatever diet you choose, you can use the right supplements, whether it's digestive aids or nutritional products, based on the testing that you get from a professional to make sure that you optimize your health, your viability for the long term. And for people who want to find out more, they can just check out our company. And we have a lot of education about it. We answer a lot of specific questions for our customers because I'm so passionate about this. My digestion got wrecked. It was terrible when it happened. I found some solutions that work for me. I ended up sharing that with a lot of people over the last 14 years. And I see it. I take it upon myself to become an expert on this and to help people by providing the information to make better choices in their life.
Right. So if people do want to reach out and they want to find the company, what's the best place for them to go?
I think we gave you the links on the last podcast. What was it? Advicesradio.com, I believe, /bioptimizer. I don't know. You can pop the link in there. Yeah. The same link that we gave you last time.
I don't think we actually, I don't think we had one.
Okay. So let's put bioptimizers.com/advices.
Okay.
And then we'll make sure that we put it in the show notes and people can go there. I do have a 12-week online education program, the Awesome Health Program.
Yes.
And you can watch the videos, you can find out more. You can just fast forward to the digestive related ones.
Okay.
And you can get a deeper knowledge where I go in depth about all these different areas and a bunch of other things that will help people get their health and digestion at the next level.
Do you have anything else that's coming up, Wade? Anything that you want to mention or plug while we've got you here?
No, actually, I mean, the bottom line is I'm just happy to be here. For me, I deal a lot with the general public.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to be here with another bodybuilder. Scott, we're a different breed, as we all know.
Yes.
We're extreme by nature. We're, you know, crazy about performing better. We follow a process that makes us look a little weird and do weird things.
Absolutely.
And, it's just fun to be on a podcast with what I call one of my own. And so thank you for having me there. I think you're doing great work in the world. And it's so nice to see how open and flexible and committed to excellence and to education that you are for you and your listeners. And it's just a real, real, real treat to be here. Thank you so much.
Man, Wade, thank you. Man, those are huge words and it means a lot to me. I'm just so glad that I met you. You've got so much cool stuff. And honestly, the first program and this program, these are changing. You have you're making a big impression on me. And in the feedback I had gotten from the first show, I think you're making a big impression on a lot of people. So Wade, really, I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Scott.
Guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Wade Lightheart. We will see you soon.
Voices Radio Network.